Liz and I are really excited to have the opportunity to talk with you all about School Readiness and Healthy People 2020. And before we begin, I'll just say that we have no relationships to disclose. And just to overview for you all what we'll be talking about, we're going to talk about Healthy People 2020 and specifically the Early and Middle Childhood Objective 1. We'll talk about the historical context for school readiness and the early and middle childhood objective. Also go into the methodology that we use to conduct a literature review where we aim to identify school readiness measures that would be applicable to Healthy People 2020. We'll have a discussion of our results, the implications from those results, and then just a brief discussion. So just to talk a little bit about what the early and middle childhood objective actually addresses. So this objective is, it sets out to increase the proportion of children who are ready for school in five domains of healthy development. So you can see on the screen, we have physical development, social and emotional development, approaches to learning, which most of you all are probably familiar with, but that means really children are interested and engaged and have a positive attitude towards their learning environments and material. Fourth is language, and then fifth is cognitive development. And so this objective was actually introduced this year, and an important thing to note about it is that it is developmental. And so this means that a nationally representative data source hasn't been identified yet, and if there is not one identified within the next 5 years, this objective would actually be dropped from Healthy People 2020. So this kind of gives us all incentive in terms of our research and advocacy. And part of the reason that it hasn't been, that it isn't really the reason that it isn't a full objective is because there isn't this data source. And so Healthy People 2020 actually have identified several possibilities. So you'll see the first is the National Survey of Children's Health, which is administered by HRSA and MCHS. Then we have the National Center for Health Statistics, which is administered by the CDC. And then they also mention the Department of Education. And I think we actually put that, the National Household Educational Survey. Healthy People 2020 actually didn't identify a data set from the Department of Education, but we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. So now just thinking about the historical context of school readiness, really. So this is a discussion that has been taking place for many years. And in our literature review, we actually found an article dating back to 1959 in Pediatrics. And so it was actually looking at school readiness from the perspective of emotional and physical development as being the predictors of school readiness. And so my background is early childhood education. So for me, I was a little bit surprised to see that some of the earlier publications were actually in health-related journals versus early childhood education journals. But that's what we found. And so then we see in 1965, there's also legislation in the Head Start program. So the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, and specifically Title I of that, and the Head Start program both came about in 1965. This was during the Civil Rights Movement, and there was a real emphasis on ensuring that all children have an opportunity to start school with a high-quality education and really have an opportunity to learn and begin on a high-achievement trajectory. Then we see in 1975, Education for All Handicapped Children, which later became IDEA. And then in 94, there was the Goals 2000 Educate America Act. And so this really was the first goal is that all children would be ready to learn by the year 2000. So there are multiple goals, but this really does speak to the fact that school readiness was really seen as an important area. And there's also been some state-level work that's taken place, and the Getting Ready Initiative is really a state collaborative aimed at improving school readiness. So those are kind of the last 50 years, some of the highlighting some of the major initiatives and legislation that have taken place. And this year, it is really exciting because Healthy People 2020 added the early and middle childhood objective, and also we have the Race to the Top Early Learning Challenge Grant that just people actually just states just submitted their applications for that. And part of this is actually encouraging states to develop a kindergarten readiness assessment. So it's really a watershed moment in terms of the opportunities to shape school readiness and actually thinking about how we want to measure it. And so ready for school. So we kind of have this historical context, but also we, my colleague Liz and I, we start to think about, well, what do we think school readiness, what do we think it means? So I'm trained as a developmental psychologist. She's a pediatrician, and we did not always agree on what school readiness means, which is part of the discussion that's just been occurring more broadly. And so one of the things that we thought about was, who are you actually going to ask? And so this was a point that we didn't agree on. Are you asking teachers? Are you asking parents? Is it a direct assessment of the child? So that's something that should be taken into consideration, and we thought quite a bit about. Next was, what are you actually going to ask? What are you actually interested in measuring? And so there are multiple domains that could be considered. Social-emotional development, is it intellectual development, physical and health? So those are some of the things that we grappled with. And then where do you actually ask these questions? Is this something that takes place in school, or is it something that takes place in a health setting, or perhaps by phone? So the area that we overwhelmingly agreed on was, why are you actually asking these questions around school readiness? And so we know that, taking a life course perspective, that children's initial learning and beginning school, it actually predicts their later learning outcomes as well as health outcomes. And so this is a really important thing in terms of putting children on the right track. Also, there are disparities in terms of education, in terms of children's beginning school readiness, between racial ethnic groups and socioeconomic groups. And so we really are interested in addressing those disparities in a school readiness measure that would actually serve to do that. So this was something that we did agree about. And then the fifth and final question that we asked of ourselves was, when do you actually ask these questions? Is this something that takes place prior to the pre-K year, so when children are between 0 and 3, or is this something in pre-kindergarten or kindergarten, and so forth? So as I mentioned before, we couldn't always agree on these, except for the point about why we're actually asking. So we had to conceptualize for ourselves what we thought about school readiness, and then we start to think about, well, in terms of Healthy People 2020, what it actually sets out to do, how would school readiness actually, what are the criteria that we'd actually want to see in a measure for this? So we do want to have a focus on the whole child. And Healthy People 2020, it actually lays out these 5 domains that I mentioned before. The only thing that I'll point out that we really put an emphasis on is the fifth, or that we added, is the fifth, and that's in terms of cognitive development, including math and science. And so one area that I spend a lot of time studying is on children's mathematics development, and that's actually been shown to predict their later literacy learning and math learning above and beyond what early reading does. So that's important. But we really did have a focus on the whole child. Also, that this would be a population-based measure. Healthy People 2020, it has to be nationally representative, so by definition, we really need to have a population-based measure. That the measure would have predictive validity, so that we can actually see later on that children's school readiness outcomes are related to their later learning and health outcomes. And then the fourth bullet, that it would be feasible. Feasible in terms of how it would be administered, the amount of time that it would take, and also from a financial standpoint, that it could actually be done. That there would be inter-rater reliability. And then we said that the age of children or the time at which an individual would be assessed or questioned about the children would be when children are between the ages of 4 and 6 years old.
Okay, and here comes the tag team. It's my turn now. So Tanisha really reviewed, you know, what we wanted in our ideal measure based on sort of the framework that Healthy People 2020 had laid out in their objective. But we ran into one other issue before we could jump in to the literature. And that was basic, so we wanted to take what the criteria were to the literature, really for the purpose of identifying a population-based measure that was in the peer-reviewed literature that could be adopted or used in Healthy People 2020, knowing that it's a short timeline. And we want to see it move from a developmental objective and not be thrown aside to be sort of rediscussed in 2020. We've been already talking about this for 50 years. We need to move forward. We wanted to use peer-reviewed evidence. So we wanted to go to Medline Ovid, PsycINFO Ovid, and ERIC. And you'll notice the interdisciplinary of this because the literature is actually all over the place. We avoided reports and non-governmental issues that were not peer-reviewed. So then before we could really jump in, we had to deal with the whole concept of school readiness, and that often school readiness is more than just a sum of its parts. So you can measure all five of those domains, but you're still sort of missing something. You're missing that idea of a whole child, and that it takes a child and a family and a school to all be ready. It was another area of disagreement exactly how we would get around this. Just as Potter said about pornography, I know it when I see it. Well, a lot of people feel the same way about school readiness. I know it when I see it, but that doesn't help us measure it. So what we did is we took these keyword searches. You'll see we did them as combinations, and we went back to those three databases and did our literature search. And what did we come up with? We first came up with massive amounts of duplicates. When we finally got through all the duplicates, because you can imagine, although they're three separate databases, they cover a lot of the same journals. So we ended up with only 611. Considering 50 years of history, that wasn't a lot of articles. We took 486 articles out because they didn't meet our original criteria that Tanisha reviewed. They either were the wrong age, they were a dissertation, they weren't peer-reviewed, we kind of cleaned and ended up with 125. And then we had to do another big cull. And this cull kind of made me cry because what I had to take out were a lot of the research base that gives us all this information. So something like the Early Childhood Longitudinal Study assessed school readiness, but they assessed each skill and they pulled this psychometric study and 25 questions from this psychometric study and they added it all together and created their own measure. Very interestingly, everyone has created their own measure and no one happens to use the same measure over and over again. So very problematic and not something that could be adopted for Healthy People 2020 because it took an independent researcher 3 days visiting a school to get sort of all those assessments. Not feasible. And then we ended up with 42 articles that were sort of freestanding school readiness assessments, something where they tried to package it in a way where either a teacher could do it, a parent can do it, an outside observer could do it, but in a short amount of time and get an overall score of sort of a school readiness. And out of those articles, we pulled 30 measures. Again, everybody seems to want their own. They don't want to use the same one over again, which is problematic in the literature. So what we ended up with were those 30 measures, and I'm going to go over the top four for you. And these were based on our five criteria that Tanisha already went over on the top. And I'll start at the bottom. Now, of course, I have an abnormality in what I'm going to talk about. We said we weren't going to take anything that wasn't peer-reviewed. But this, there is an article by O'Donnell in 07 that talks about the National Household Education Survey. And it's not peer-reviewed. It was put out through the Department of Ed. And it talks about school readiness and that they had in 93, as part of that household survey, it's an education department survey on the phone, they asked school readiness, and then again in 07, they asked about school readiness. So this was an existing measure that the public health person in me that like loves immunization surveys by phone, I couldn't let this one fail or fall off my chart. So it is a population, it's already being done. It does cover five domains, not perfectly. I mean, it is a phone survey. I assume that the predicted validity and the interrelated reliability have been done prior to them spending all this money, but it's not published and it's not available on their website. So I put question marks in there. And it is feasible because it already was done. Now, it was only done once in each decade, But ideally, healthy people could work with the Department of Education and move this forward. So the second one was Schools Ready for Children, Children Ready for Schools. And this talks a little bit to the interaction between states and research. And this is what the state of Hawaii uses. And I like this one because they actually, instead of looking at individual children, which our first speaker was speaking about individual children and screening them, we're talking really about a population base. So they survey all teachers, all kindergarten teachers in Hawaii, and ask them what percentage of their classroom meets certain criteria on domain. So they're never really looking at individual children. They're asking teachers, what percentage of your kids are socially, emotionally ready for kindergarten? And they give them specific criteria. That predictive invalidity and reliability, inter-rater reliability, are not published. The preschool student rating scale is something that's been used on and off in Georgia. And it's a pretty good measure. It was used as a grader study. It's just one part, but then it's been used since then. And really, what we found was this early development instrument, or early development index, which was developed in Australia, widely used in Canada, and is being piloted here in the United States, not by us, by other people. And it really hit all five. It's a 100 question survey that's filled out by teachers. It takes about 15, 20 minutes, and they have to know the kids for 6 months. And it's been well studied in all different kinds of populations, Aboriginal, obviously in Australia, and Canada. It's been also very well studied in diverse populations. So that was sort of the other thing that we couldn't ignore, that we didn't do as part of our literature review, but has been published separately for the National Council of State Legislatures by Stedron and Berger. They looked at what states were already doing, because they didn't wait for the literature. 23 states already had a school readiness measure in 2010, and like Tanisha said, the race to the top early learning has pushed probably even more states towards having a statewide measure. Few, if any, of these measures were rigorously evaluated for standard psychometric properties at a population level. And really, none of them are used sort of as a public health measure. They're very much used for, once a child's in school, how can we help them, rather than sort of taking that measure and looking backwards and saying, how can we help this kid be ready for school? So our implications are that we only have a handful of measures that could meet our criteria and help healthy people 2020 along. Only one involved asking parents by telephone, which was like, you know, my modus operandi. And the EDI really stood out as a population-level measure documented across many children from diverse backgrounds. As a possible data collection method, we really thought about the National Report Card as a possible way of combining with the Department of Education. And really, we see this as an opportunity for education and public health to work together. I know we've been trying to for 50 years. This is not anything new, but it's a new incentive. It's a new opportunity that we need to take advantage of. And we really truly believe that young children are best served by a school readiness that marries public health and education perspectives and builds on early childhood through 12th grade infrastructure that supports universal school readiness. So that's it. Thank you.